Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana, powered by the Montana Electric Cooperative Association. Your Montana Electric Cooperative, they do much more than keep the lights on for you. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Denny Reavert. Big thanks to former Montana Congressman Denny Reavert for filling in on the show here all week long. Tuesday, he covered down for our Giving Tuesday special for our Warriors in Quiet Waters annual radiothon that we've been doing now for, three or four years we've been doing that. And I've been so honored to serve as a national advisory board member for Warriors in Quiet Waters. So thanks to Denny for pulling that one off on Giving Tuesday while I was taking a few days off. But that being said, we missed some time with John Jackson, the Joker from X, who typically joins us most Tuesdays. And so, John, it's great to have you here in studio with us on this Freedom Friday. You've got a good update on a story that we first broke right here on Montana Talks. Before Thanksgiving, we had Attorney General Austin Knutson with us on the show, and crazy, he was saying that the Canadian law enforcement was trying to come back down to Montana to spy on our gun shows again. You know, they got booted out of a gun show in Great Falls, and then they told the AG that they wanted to come spy on a gun show in Kalispell. They wanted to spy on a gun show in Bozeman. And he said, absolutely not. Stay the heck out of our state. I saw Rebel News, a great Canadian news publication that actually does news and actually questions their government, unlike the rest of the state-owned media. They did a follow-up, and, you know, the Canadian authorities are staying pretty mum, staying pretty quiet, and they're not talking about what plans they may or may not have to spy on gun shows. But you got an interesting update on that front.
Yeah. Playing right into that, yesterday, a minister up there in Canada, high government official, comes out in a public statement and says they are getting ready to ban another 324 additional firearms up there in Canada. And also, you read, you see in this, you think it's a parody. You think for sure this is the Babylon Bee. Because then he goes on to say that the confiscated weapons will be sent to Ukraine. You're listening to this, so you can, okay, here they are. They're right here getting ready to confiscate another 324 types of weapons, ban these types of weapons, right as they are trying to come down into Montana and spy on our gun shows. And I think Austin Knutson had it dead on point, is that we're not going to be in the business of helping them suppress their own people and their own rights to have to defend themselves.
Well, and that's the thing. You just can't trust anything coming out of the Trudeau regime and the Trudeau government right now. And Trudeau is on his last legs anyway, is what it sounds like, that him and his party have lost support up there. That's why he had to go groveling down to Donald Trump and Mar-a-Lago. Why would we help him spy on his people? He's trying to disarm freedom-loving, law-abiding Canadian citizens, our friends, while he's also allowing criminal illegals to come in and run rampant in his country. So, yeah, why would we help you spy on your citizens? We should be standing with
Absolutely. The
free people,
yep.
Not standing against them. Great point.
Taking your calls live, 406-294-0970. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Hey, we got John Jackson, the Joker from X. You can follow him, x.com/PVTJokerUS, at PrivateJokerUS on X. You can follow me, x.com/AaronFlint. But he's sidekicking with us here this morning, and we're taking your phone calls. If you want to call in and jump in on the conversation, or you got something you want to talk about, give us a ring, 406-294-0970, or you can message us on the Montana Talks app. You know, John, I'm thinking, man, it's December 6th already. You'd think we would like run out of stuff to talk about. Yeah, it's getting into the holidays. It's the quiet season. There is a ton of things to talk about. In fact, on Monday's show, I'm going to have Sandy Vasica. She's on the Missoula City Council. She'll be with us. We're going to be talking about how Missoula is now outlawing urban camping in the city parks. We're going to see if there's some meat on that or if it's just all for show. Plus, we're going to talk nuclear energy with an expert from the Idaho National Laboratory. And then I've got the governor on at some point next week. We're going to talk with Senator Tom McGilvery about the judicial reform that the legislature's working on. They've got like 27 different things they're going to work on doing. So it's nice to see some action being proposed now.
Absolutely. Take advantage of this at every opportunity right now while you've got majority, you've got Republican legislature, you've got a Republican governor. You don't know how long you're going to have that for. So take every advantage of it to pass everything and lock Montana down as a permanent red state.
You know, you and I have been talking and tweeting about how, you know, many in the media, it's like they didn't get the memo that the American people, that the people of Montana just sent them 1 month ago in these historic elections. Not just people in the media, but even some Republicans, both in the legislature and in Congress, apparently didn't get the memo that the American people just sent them a month ago. I thought it was pretty interesting. I saw a news headline yesterday from one of the liberal news publications, the Montana Free Press, and it was a headline about the Milk River. And let's see, where did I put that headline here? But anyway, it was a headline about how basically, well, you know, we're hoping that during the lame duck here. Oh, yeah, here's the headline. Here we go. Irrigators are hopeful that the lame duck Congress will deliver funding for Milk River repairs. Isn't it interesting? Pre-election media that was trying to prop up John Tester and the Democrats, they were saying, no, it's all good. They got all the money for this. The repairs are going to be made next year. Now, after the election, they're like, we still need some money. Yeah, we need money for that Highline irrigation project. It's like, oh, wow, you made it sound like it was already fixed. It was already paid for before the election. And the rest of us were calling BS on that one.
For a little bit of good news, you've heard me do my Asperger's syndrome on your show for a couple of months now about this budget coming up here to the 23rd, 2 days before Christmas.
Yeah.
Well, it does look like they are planning to kick a CR down the road, maybe to March. They are not going to try and lock Donald Trump in through the end of the year with some omnibus budget. And also, our boy Mike Jensen, he came out and said he is also denying this whatever. What did Biden want, another 20-something billion for Ukraine? He is denying that. He said, no, we're going to be talking to the next commander-in-chief about what to do about Ukraine. I mean, who knows? Can they stick in some money for the Milk River in this CR? I mean, who you got up there pushing for it? I guess you would have Tester and Daines looking at it. I mean, you would hope they would.
Well, you would hope. I would hope, as much as I have my criticisms of John Tester, he made some promises to the Crow tribe, and the Crow tribe came out and they stuck their necks out and backed him in this election. They stuck their necks out in a big way. Is he going to stick his neck out for them and deliver on the Crow Revenue Act? Is he going to deliver some federal disaster relief for our laid off Stillwater miners? He's not even showing up. He didn't show up at Veterans Day events. He didn't show up at the Montana Coffee. They do this weekly Montana Coffee. Everybody else is there. But no John Tester. And then you probably heard that soundbite where he told a couple of reporters, they asked him about the pardon for Hunter Biden. And he said, well, I'm getting the F out of here anyway. He used the full F-bomb. He said, I'm getting the F out of here anyway. Go ask somebody else. And it's like, John, you're still on the payroll. You're still the senator until the new senators are sworn in on January 3rd of 2025. Like, you've still got work to do. But he's just like, nope, screw you guys. You didn't reelect me. Ah. I'm not going to show
up. Screw you guys. I'm going home. You know, he's Cartman from South Park.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
The only thing.
I'm such a beefcake. Such a beefcake, I can't even get through the door. You know?
The only thing, you're talking about him sticking his neck out. The only thing he's sticking his neck out is reaching over that bar to grab that vodka cranberry there at the bistro. Cacao.
I was going to say, you know, why isn't he at the Montana Coffee? Well, he's probably, did anybody check the bistro? Cacao. See if he might be down there. But in all reality, it's like, I just can't wait till we just don't even mention his name anymore and we just move on and we start fixing this country and and literally fixing things like, you know, like irrigation projects that it should have been funded long ago instead of all this money he was sending to all these other countries. But there also needs to be accountability, and there also needs to be a sense of, like, just because you lost doesn't mean you just totally quit and you don't continue doing the job that you're being paid to do right now. Finish the race, finish well, run through the tape. I mean, Matt Rosendale, for example, he wanted to be the senator too. He wanted to run for the Senate and win the Senate, and he didn't get that, but he's still showing up for the coffee. He's still showing up for work. So it's like, why can't you, John?
And as we all know, most of these guys, like Tester, is going to have a soft landing. He's going to have a golden parachute. He'll get some job with some dark money group, you know, just like Bullock did. All these people do. They get taken care of. The system takes care of them. So, you know, try not to go out of this job the way you were the whole time. It's just a lazy douchebag.
Well, it's the most unwoke hour of the week. John Jackson, the Joker from X, in the house. Speaking of not getting the memo, what about these Republican legislators in Montana that voted to allow a man access to the women's bathrooms in the Capitol? Stand by.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, phone lines are open on this Friday, 406-294-0970. And then, as you heard, we got a packed show coming up for you on Monday already. Let's go into the phone lines. Calling in from Eastern Montana before the election, her name was Tester Will Not Be Reelected. Now she goes by the name Tester Was Not Reelected. Great to hear from you. What's on your mind?
Well, good morning, Aaron and John, and good morning, Montana. Thank you to our veterans. Denny did a great job all week. I want to bring this Zoe Zephyr issue back up because I'm fit to be tied, just like always. I get so upset about these topics, but the one thing I'm really sick of is this normalcy of sexual deviance that is eroding our American values. This is like what we call unscripted warfare. We have four Republicans voted to allow this trans mockery to continue, allowing Zoe in the women's restrooms. In my opinion, as you can tell, this decision was absolutely wrong. Let me make this clear for the leaders of the Montana GOP. We sent a clear mandate. The trans novelty has worn off. Nancy Mace sent a clear message up in D.C. Riley Gaines made trips to Montana and stood her ground and sent a clear message. And leave it, no offense, but I'm being real. Leave it to the GOP men in leadership to sell out women. That's where I'm sitting. I am not letting this go. And that woman in Gallatin County that called you was absolutely correct. And then that man also. We need better leaders who will stand up for biological women. And if they don't, then it's simple. The GOP and the caucuses should not be funding the reelection campaign. They should be funding the primary candidate who's going to primary them. You vote against the platform of the Republican Party, you don't get help. This is a stain. And all the naysayers who are upset because of my quote-unquote friendly fire, a.k.a. a Republican woman calling out her own party, sit down and let the women stand up and handle this, because apparently we are the only ones who are doing it. This is absolutely wrong, Aaron. I appreciate you standing up for women, and this has got to end.
Yeah, I think, you know, they were trying to figure out, you know, this was like for the first time ever, you've got a man pretending to be a woman that was elected to the legislature from Missoula the last session 2 years ago. And they're like, okay, well, what do we do here? Because they're trying to be respectful. They're trying to be accommodating to everybody. They're trying to respect the women and everything. It was the first time ever. So 2 years ago, they say, all right, here's what we'll do. We'll put some locks on the doors. And they were trying to be, but now it's like, it's 2 years later. We know exactly the type of antics that this radical transgender activist Zoe Zephyr is going to try to pull. And enough is enough. The American people, the people of Montana, sent a massive memo: no men in women's bathrooms. And so I would say, though, I mean, I would disagree slightly. The leadership in, you know, the House leadership, the House Republican leadership, the Senate Republican leadership, They voted the right way, I believe, on this. But you're right. There were four members, one Republican in the state Senate, and then, what, three in the state House who voted the wrong way on this. But the leadership did vote the right way on this. But, John, it's kind of like what you and I have been talking about, though, is that the bigger concern is this a sign of what's to come, where they're going to take the memo that the people of Montana just sent them a month ago and then just rip it up and then cave and support the bills that the Democrats want them to support, even though we just got a clear mandate from the people of Montana in the direction the people of Montana want to see the state go in.
I mean, let me ask a question real quick. Who out there thinks that if you let our bro Zoe there use the bathroom, use the women's bathroom, who thinks that that's going to make them happy? That's going to make him and all his nutbag friends happy, and then they'll just go sit down and shut up? No, that is just, you're showing them weakness, which will mean the next thing and the next thing and the next thing. Now, that's just a lesson flat out we have learned over the last 20 years for these people. This is not a debate. It's not a hypothesis of mine. It is a fact. That's why you have to stop these people, zero tolerance. I'll tell you, Aaron, you send me up there to that legislature.
Let's do it.
I would be setting traps for this dude. I'm going to lay out some bait for him to jump on it, and we're going to be making a case to expel him permanently. That's what I would be doing up there.
Well, you don't even need to trap the guy. He's already entrapped himself. He cheered on the transurrection when they were attacking our state House of Representatives and throwing things at the lawmakers and the teenage pages that were on the floor below and banging on the historic entrance doors and tussling with law enforcement. And so, but that's the thing is, like, you remember 2 weeks before the elections, the media was glorifying Zoe Zephyr. I think I joked at the time it was the apotheosis of Zoe Zephyr in the news. I mean, the AP had this big profile on, will Zoe Zephyr get reelected? And everybody's like, it's Missoula. Of course he'll get reelected there in that radical district. But they were making this guy front and center. And I'm sure if you were a moderate Democrat, if there's any of you left out there, you were seeing this and you're like smacking your head saying, why are they propping up Zoe Zephyr? This is killing us right now. So again, to the Republicans out there that think, oh, why give Zoe Zephyr a platform? Why give him more attention? Let him get more attention. Give him all the media attention in the world, because he's also exposing the fake news media. The Montana Television Network, look at their coverage. Their coverage is glorifying Zoe Zephyr. Their coverage is, she is doing this, and her access to the women's bathroom. It's a man. It's he. It's him. Not trying to be disrespectful here. It's just a fact, and you are a news organization. Why don't you report facts? Because they're not news organizations anymore. They are running cover for the radical left-wing agenda.
I'm just like you. I want him to be the face of the Montana Democratic Party, and I want controversies all the time. Like I said, lay traps for him. I want him to jump right in the middle of this and be making headlines every day. I mean, I want that because I want all the voters of Montana to see who the Democrats really are, what they're about. He's going to expose them, and he will continue to expose the media.
You don't have to even be in the women's room for him to expose himself in front of you. He's exposing himself in the media every single day. Yeah, good point. All right, let's go to Perry the poet, I call him. Perry from Columbus. Good to hear from you, Perry.
Welcome back, Aaron and John. You know, you guys are my two favorite Montana patriots. I have a message for the Aaron Flint Army this morning. You know, our enemy's idea of democracy is actually 1,000 wolves and 995 sheep deciding what's for dinner. And it's time for us sheepdogs to sink our fangs into some wolf butt. Everybody should now understand that the woke, anarchistic, nihilistic, radical American left is like rust on bare metal, a malignant cancer that never stops spreading throughout our body politic until we cut them out of American society, just like they trying to do to us. There's no coexistence with these totalitarians. This is a zero-sum deal. It's win or lose for constitutional rights and freedoms. And any compromise or loss will only be temporary for them. Now, the movie 300 comes to mind. It's King Leonidas and the Spartans at the Battle of Thermopylae against Xerxes and his army. There's a phrase in there that I want everybody to remember. Give them nothing and take from them everything. So pick up the phone, get on the keyboard, and politely and respectfully press senators to give Donald Trump the cabinet he wants. It's not like we the people didn't give him a mandate to drain the swamp.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, John Jackson, speaking of the movie, Perry, great to hear from you, the 300 movie reference. I imagine if one of these guys came to you and said, hey, John, you know what? You will allow a man into your daughter's locker room. You'd be like, remember the movie 300 when he delivers the message and he kicks him right in the chest?
Is Sparta.
Down the wall, right down the well. Oh, you know.
Your boy Perry, he and I are copacetic like, dude, what is that?
What is this, a mandate?
26 minutes ago at a break, I tweeted, give them nothing. Okay.
Make them vote on the record is what you add. It's like these people are cowardly behind the scenes trying to undermine President Trump's nominees. No. Force them to expose themselves. Expose is like the word of the hour now. You know,
Was that from that movie line? You my boy, Blue. Perry, you my boy. You my boy, Perry.
That's right. Hey, I know it's the most unwoke hour of the week whenever you're on the show, but can I one up you on the unwokeness today?
You can try.
I'll try. Like a steer in a field full of heifers, all you can do is try. This was from Tom in Broadview. So speaking of the radical transgender agenda, did you hear that the LPGA, the ladies' professional golf association, the ladies, while they're having their cavassier on the golf course with the ladies' professional.
Is this the Mike Tyson golf commentary?
No, man, it's the ladies, man. Talking about the ladies' golf league. Drinking Cavassier, showing up for Fox and Friends with some Cavassier on our breath. No. So the LPGA, they finally said, that's it. You know, that's it. No more men playing in the LPGA tour. You know, this is for women. This is the LPGA. So you got to be a woman. No men identifying as women playing in the LPGA. What was the headline? LPGA and USGA to require players to be assigned female at birth or transition before male puberty. Okay, anyway. So the LPGA, let's see, here we go. DailyCaller.com. Transgender golfer Haley Davidson makes completely asinine statement regarding LPGA's gender eligibility rule. But anyway, Tom in Broadview sent me this link about how the LPGA made the right decision and is going to allow women in women's sports. Here's the unwoke moment. Earmuffs, kids. It would seem the golf people understand the fact that there is a big difference between playing with or without balls. So the golf people get it. Do the rest of you get it.
Yeah.
All right, they just teed that one up for Tom, didn't they?
This is where Montana talks ag with Lane Nordlund.
Cattle prices, beef demand, and weather are some important conversations happening at the 140th Montana Stock Growers Convention in Billings. Livestock industry analyst Dr. Neville Spear was one of the keynote speakers. I sat down with him and he shared this insight.
Consumers are the business ultimately, right? Every dollar that comes into this business comes because a consumer spent something either at the retail level or at a restaurant, what have you. You know, in a year in which the number one concern among consumers has been inflation, beef continues to forge ahead, both at the retail level and also at the wholesale level. Consumers are just not pushing back. And, you know, sometimes producers will challenge you on that. And when is the consumer finally going to quit spending? Well, we've been saying that for 10 years, right? It's just been an amazing story that continues. And it's largely because of beef quality and then the investment we've made in terms of promotion and research and what have you. It's paying off in terms of real dividends.
Spear encouraged convention attendees to keep a close eye on their operations.
Prices are incredible. And it's very easy to kind of enter into euphoria. And we are forecasting record profits for cow-calf producers next year. Now is not the time to be complacent. There's too much equity at risk. Always try to work at building a floor, whether that's through LRP or options or futures, however you're going to manage risk, but it's really an important part of this.
From the Stock Growers Convention, I'm Lane Northlund.
Talking about the issues that matter to Montana statewide. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Pardon me. Man, this list of who Joe Biden could or thinks he should pardon, John, it's going to be the longest list ever of all the people in this deep state and the massive, crimes against humanity. I mean, they are acknowledging that they know that Fauci and the rest of these guys committed so many wrongs that they're looking at doing a preemptive pardons on a whole bunch of people, huh?
Well, I think it's a done deal that you're going to see he's going to have to pardon the rest of the Corleone crime family there, the Biden crime family. That's his brothers and probably several other members of his family. He's going to have to give them pardons. But then they want him to do something that I don't think has any legal precedent ever, is to give what they would call a preemptive pardon to people. And they're already putting out the list of people they think need these preemptive pardons. And they are our boy Milley, the traitor General Milley. Always our buddy Adam Schiff, Liz Cheney, and then, as we all know, Dr. Fauci. Now, what strikes me right away, just my law enforcement brain right off the top there, they're telling you right there, those four names, they're telling you they know right for a fact these people have committed crimes that can be used to prosecute them. Why else? Just like he showed you with Hunter, that's why he had to pardon Hunter, because they know Hunter committed crimes. They're telling you right here, these guys committed crimes that can be used against them, which we all have known for years, and they're just now confirming it.
See, this is why I have to get up so early and do so much show prep. John can tell you I am like scanning the 50-plus news articles and other things in front of me right now to find that one article. Here it is, DailyWire.com. Speaking of pardons, con permiso. You're my terp. Is that right? Is that
con permiso, si.
So that's how you say excuse me in Spanish. Yeah. All right. Well, Feliz Navidad while we're at it. Bill Clinton says Hunter Biden pardon is not like that time that he pardoned his own brother. So apparently, you know, Bill's getting a little defensive now. He's like, hey, isn't that funny, though, that Bill Clinton's kind of throwing the Biden family under the bus? He's like, wait a minute. No, my brother's deal is a total different deal now. Now this pardon of Hunter, that's a different deal. Like, he got defensive about it. And meanwhile, he's just running that bus right over the Biden family.
Well, I don't think B.J. Clinton's got much place to talk here, because on his way out the door, how many pardons did he throw out? And it took, like, people like 48 hours to look in every single one of those pardons. And they had bought them. They had paid for them right to B.J. Clinton and their foundation. I mean, he sold pardons to his political allies. So, you know, Billy Bob might want to sit this one out.
Well, that's why I also, like Tracy Stone Manning, the director of the Bureau of Land Management, has she resigned? Has she stepped down from her post as BLM director? She's basically selling off our public lands to these radical environmental groups who have already promised her a job. She's already been told that she's going to be the president. So there she is, sitting in an active federal job, shopping for a new job. So how are we to know that she's not there out there telling these organizations, well, if you make me this, I'll give you this. She is giving these people all sorts of perks and using our public lands to get herself a new job. She should have had to resign immediately once she started shopping for a new job.
It's criminal. And Aaron, we send 500 people up there every year, including the Congress and senators, to stop this kind of thing. This is their job. It should not be allowed. It should be criminal.
But here's Bill Clinton. I tried to do a little. You know, here's what I'm saying about my brother. But this is him in his own words where he gives his take. This is why the pardon that he gave to his own brother is different than what Joe Biden just did with Hunter.
Of course it is.
But I think he actually has a pretty good explanation here.
I'm still reading. Somebody said, well, this is just like when Bill Clinton pardoned his brother. Well, it's not. My brother did 14 months in the federal prison for something he did when he was 20. And I supported it. And he testified, told the truth about what he'd done when he had a drug problem and helped to bring down a larger enterprise. And they sentenced him, and then he served 14 months, and he got out.
Now, meanwhile, Hunter Biden and Joe Biden, they committed all these alleged crimes while Joe Biden was still in office as vice president. And did Hunter Biden ever do a day in federal prison? Who was it? When I was on vacation, one clip that I saw on X was somebody, I think it was one of the Democrats, and they were calling, or somebody on CNN or something like that, but they were calling out Hunter Biden for, you know, Bo Biden was the son that died from cancer. And Hunter Biden, basically this woman called out Hunter Biden for who he is. That what did he do to Bo Biden's widow? He got her addicted to crack and then started hooking up with her. That's what he did to his dead brother's wife. Got her hooked on crack and started hooking up with her. I mean, just the depravity.
Well, while Billy Bob is actually correct on comparing those two pardons, like I said a minute ago, he needs to sit this one out because we know how many pardons he left on the desk right as he was leaving out of his administration and how they were all paid. You know, he sold pardons to his political allies. Bill, you need to sit this one out, bro.
Well, not only that, but I would argue that these national monument designations, these last-minute decisions to lock up our so-called public lands that were done in the final days of the Clinton administration, which there's concern that the Biden regime will do the same thing once again, that this is a payoff to their donors and to their activist base, which is the radical environmental groups, that it's the same thing that's happening right now with the BLM, you know, making these sweeping decisions against Montana and Powder River Basin coal and so much more.
Our friend David Limbaugh, Rush's brother, he follows me on Twitter. I follow him, and you know, occasionally he'll respond back to me. And he made a tweet the other day. He said, "Have you ever seen an administration?" He's talking about the Biden administration. "You ever seen an administration so completely attempt to sabotage and undermine the incoming administration?" And I think David had forgotten. So I'm like, dude. You know, I said, "See the previous administrations of Barack Hussein Obama and William Jefferson Clinton. This every modern Democrat. That's how they play now. If they're out and a Republican is coming in behind them, they are throwing grenades all over the floor trying to sabotage everything they can before you come in."
Let's see. Oh, man, I just had a follow. Oh, I know what I was going to ask. You were talking about, you know, David Limbaugh responding to you on Twitter. Donald Trump Jr. actually saw one of your tweets and shared it on Instagram. What was that tweet?
Let's see. What was? Oh, yes. We're talking about.
Oh, come on. Act like you don't have it. You have it. You've got it getting framed at Hobby Lobby right now. You know?
I don't know how to tell you this, Aaron, but
I get retweeted so many times.
I'm
by
kind
so many
of a big deal here. My apartment has the smell of rich mahogany. We were talking about the Ukraine thing and Hunter Biden's pardon, and what I said was, if you want your head to explode, here's what happened: is Trump was impeached for trying to investigate the very crimes that Joe just pardoned Hunter for. And that's the absolute truth, and that's why they impeached him, because they wanted to cover the whole thing up and him to shut up about it.
Hey, by the way, speaking of like cops and courts, crime news type stories, just got this update a few minutes ago from FoxNews.com. Daniel Penny. He's that heroic Marine veteran who saved all those people on that subway in New York City, and then they prosecuted him for helping to save people. This is the breaking news. Daniel Penny jurors tell judge they cannot agree on the top charge in the Subway chokehold case. So at least when it comes to the most serious charge against him, jurors have not come to an agreement. So that appears to be at least one piece of good news coming out of that trial in New York City. It is such a shame that this young man is on trial to begin with. You know, we were talking earlier about the lions and the lambs and the sheepdogs. He's a sheepdog who is protecting the lambs. The lambs on that subway have desperately needed a sheepdog, and yet look at how the media and the left-wing courts, they will protect the wolves, not the lions, and the wolves and the lambs. They will protect the wolves while they downplay or ignore the slaughter of the lambs. We see it, you know, in literal ag news here in the Rocky Mountain West, and then we see it in criminal news from a figurative standpoint every single day.
Which is a couple of weeks ago. Did you hear about that guy who walked like 3 miles through downtown New York, stabbing people, covered in blood. And for those 3 miles, no one stopped him or did anything. Why? It's because of this right here. The citizens of New York have been told by the government, don't intervene. Don't be a good Samaritan. Don't help people out. This is what's going to happen. And the next time, it'll be you. It'll be you getting stabbed, getting victimized by one of these crazy people. And a whole subway car full of people around you will do absolutely nothing.
Well, some people would say, look, this is Montana. We don't have subways. You know, that wouldn't happen here. That couldn't. Well, did you hear about the sex offender in Great Falls, Montana, who raped a deaf and developmentally disabled 13-year-old girl? Why is he roaming the streets as a transient in Great Falls, Montana right now?
Blue at 800-345-2789.
Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana, powered by the Montana Electric Cooperative Association. Your Montana Electric Cooperative, they do much more than keep the lights on for you. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, just a quick few minutes left here. Hey, if you want to give a quick phone call, I should have reminded folks, you can call in. Call in right now, and I should be able to get to you before we run out of time this hour of the show on this Friday. 406-294-0970. You can also send us a message on the Montana Talks app. In fact, let's see. Lori in Billings. As to forgiving those who have done so much damage with policies, we don't have to hate the people, but we also shouldn't trust them. And we can hate the policies and not give in to them. Republicans have trouble holding the line. We have rhinos, which are liberals by another name, give an inch, and they always take a marathon. Let's see, what else? Yeah, anyway, so send us a message on the Montana Talks app, or you can also give us a call, 294-0970. Oh, John, this one came in from Tim in Billings earlier this morning. So last night, I put a story on our Montana Talks website. The Great Falls Police Department published an alert on their Facebook page yesterday or the day before. A Tier 3 sex offender is a newly registered sex offender on the registry in Great Falls. This guy apparently raped a deaf and developmentally disabled 13-year-old girl, but was let out by the liberal Montana Supreme Court. They ordered a new trial. I'm still waiting. I've reached out to a few different sources to say, hey, whatever happened? Why is this guy out on the streets? If the Supreme Court ordered a new trial, did the new trial ever take place? What's going on? But here's what a lot of the folks in Great Falls were outraged about is not only that this guy is back out on the streets after what he did, but that he is listed as a transient. So they're like, well, where does this guy even live? How is law enforcement supposed to keep tabs on this sex offender if he's listed as a transient? It isn't actually living anywhere.
Any kind of legitimate police department, what you would do if that guy got let out back on the street, you would dedicate your officers to finding out every day where is he laying his head, and you're going to go roust him everywhere you can find him and find some way to charge him. Vagrancy, trespassing, open container, drunk in public, you name it, to throw him back in jail so that there you can keep him there until this new trial would get started. And I mean, if he was to happen to bond out, you'd do it again. I mean, you just keep throwing him back and back and back there. Keep him incarcerated until they can get the new trial.
Well, and maybe one of our listeners has more updated information, but I looked at old Great Falls Tribune stories and other news articles, and the latest information I could find was that the Supreme Court ordered a new trial, but that was in 2021. You would think by nearly 2025 there would be an update. Maybe it just wasn't covered. So if you have information, send us a message, and then I'll let you know if I hear anything from the sources I reached out to as well. But Tim in Billings says this: maybe the newly elected Justice Bitigeri should be asked to house the transient sex offender, and she and her other liberal judges can take turns being super compassionate and tolerant. That was a message from Tim and Billings.
years ago, I was in college, and I was doing an internship with a PD. And so I'm riding around with these guys every day. And we had this one guy. He was a, what do you call it? He's lost his legs. All he has is a torso, and he's a homeless guy and a drunk. And because what he does is sit around the street all the time and yell at people, throw things at him. He'll actually poop in his own hand and throw it at people. So, and he'll sit in front of businesses. Eventually, he has to get arrested and go to jail. Well, what you have to do before you put him in a patrol car is you have to put him in a plastic bag, in a big garbage bag, because if not, he will poop and pee all over the backseat of the patrol car. Well, we got this guy. We have to take him to the hospital first because he's got some injuries and stuff. When we get in there, you pull in, and these doctors come out. They're like, oh, my God, how can you do this to this poor man? You put him in a garbage bag? You put him in a hefty bag? That's so inhumane. Okay, well, all right, we'll take it off him. Well, you take that, you start pulling this thing down, and the smell this poop hits this doctor there in the face.
The Adam Schiff hits the fan.
And the doctor's, okay, put it back up.
Wow. By the way, that reminds me, on a serious note, Pete Hegseth in his book, The War on Warriors, which is a great read. I'm almost all the way through it. But he described, when he was still in the National Guard, he did riot control during the BLM riots and was there protecting the White House and more with the D.C. National Guard. The Antifa activists, he said they targeted the black soldiers and they hurled the most racist stuff he's ever heard at only the black soldiers. That was these left-wing Antifa activists. And he said, and then they started throwing piss bottles.
Yep.
At the soldiers.
Water bottles, yep.
And filled. And that was these woke white Antifa activists that were hurling racial insults, pee bottles, and more.
You know why they're going after the black guys? Because they think they're most likely, they can get them to react to them if they call them racial names.
Yeah, they were trying to provoke a reaction, which is what Antifa really tries to do.